This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
We've got our next guest in the studio. Who have we got, Jono?
We do. We have Rohini Kapadar, who is the General Manager of the Immigration Museum. And you're here to talk to us about Our Body, Our Voice, Our Marks. It's a tattoo exhibition, which just sounds fascinating. So welcome, Rohini.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So tell us about your story. What's your background and how did you get involved in this wonderful world of the arts that you work in?
Well, it's a real privilege to find myself in this role, and I actually have an unusual history in that I've come from the business world. I've spent about 30 years in the technology industries as well as in professional services. So when I was tapped on the shoulder and invited to sort of, you know, take a look at this particular opportunity to transform the Immigration Museum by the CEO of Museums Victoria, it was an offer that I absolutely could not refuse, and I really jumped right into it.
Wow.
And how long have you been there now?
Just a little under 2 years.
Yeah, amazing. And you're loving it, clearly.
I'm loving it. It's an honour, it's a privilege, it's a great responsibility, and we are taking this very, very seriously.
So I was going to say, sorry, I know that obviously business skills and everything also translate into the role that you're doing. How have you found the transition from going into a sort of a, you know, a straight, I suppose, a business, sort of what most people would see as a standard business role, into leading an art sort of institution or, you know, a gallery, basically?
I think it's been a fascinating transition. I think that the art sector, and particularly museums, with, you know, declining revenues and declining funding from government institutions, they find themselves in that challenging situation of building, you know, sustainable institutions, and of course also building relevance. And, you know, the business world is always very keenly and acutely aware of these matters of sustainability and relevance and value proposition, really, to their target audience. So I think that perspective from the outside is a really important and timely one to bring into an organization that is trying to transform. So it's, of course, it's, I've been on a steep learning curve as well, and I've really appreciated the opportunity to work with extremely talented people who know exactly what they're doing when it comes to developing the experiences and the exhibitions and the narratives that we are actually, you know, shaping for our society. But I'm very pleased to be able to bring another side to that whole discussion, and to ensure that our institutions are, you know, able to remain really attractive for our audiences well into the future.
Mm. And does the Immigration Museum in particular have a cultural relevance for you? Were you a member before? You say that it's a great honour, so it's obviously something that is deeply meaningful to you. What was your relationship to the Immigration Museum before you became on board as CEO?
Well, I'm a migrant, first of all. I came to Australia 30 years ago with nothing but dreams and, you know, a dream to create a life of significance. And, you know, having spent a lot of time in the corporate sector, and I think I've, you know, in fact, I worked for about 6.5 years right across the Immigration Museum. That doesn't mean that I was a regular visitor. In fact, that's exactly the challenge that Immigration Museum has had, which is that, you know, it's an inability to really showcase its relevance to people right here in Melbourne. So it's an inability to really speak and connect with people here in Melbourne. We've had a very strong, you know, international visitor audience. So even though I was working right across the road, I don't think I visited that often.
Mm.
But I think being a migrant again, I think that we just have a very natural and deep bond with what that institution stands for, why it was created by Jeff Kennett, you know, 20 years ago.
And that's what I wanted to ask you, actually, because for our listeners as well, I suppose my sake, because I don't know about the other, but what is the Immigration Museum all about? I mean, we obviously got an exhibition we'll talk about shortly, but just generally, I mean, for our listeners, what is the immigration all about? Why should people go and see it? What is it all? Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll talk about its history first. Yeah. And it was established 20 years ago by Jeff Kennett. And that this beautiful building that we have on 400 Flinders Street was previously the old Customs House. And even the history of that old Customs House is not known to many people. And I think that it's time for us to as well to sort of amplify that story. That is a site of significance in Melbourne. In fact, we sit right across the Yarra, the Birrarung, which is where, and at a point where we're across what's called, what was once called the Yarra Yarra Falls, there was a little waterfall which created a separation between the fresh water and the sea water. And that created a natural turning basin. So the ships, when they came in from the bay, they would be forced to stop and turn, and then they'd drop their goods. And the goods were taken into the old customs house, into the grand, iconic long room, which is where they paid customs duties. Mm. Yeah, and that is the significance of this building. Mm. And I think that... you know, just knowing that it should really prompt a number of people to come and visit that space.
Yes, well, it's such a historical site. And so then the museum itself was opened 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And tell us how has it been over the 2 decades that it's been operational?
So in that period of time, the museum has in fact told stories of migration into Australia. Typically, you know, European stories to start with, the ways in which people came, the journeys that they undertook, the hardship that they experienced when they landed here, the various waves of migration, the Italians, the Greeks, the Chinese, and so on. And we've told those stories really, really well. And then subsequently, the other communities, as the African communities have come in, the Vietnamese and the Philippines and so on. And whilst those stories really reverberate and they mean a lot to people, what we have discovered is that the time has now come to reimagine what this institution can stand for. And that whilst we are engaged in this, in the challenge of embracing diversity, that even our definition of diversity is changing. The diversity is not just about ethnic diversity. It's about all kinds of diversity, gender, age, our sexuality, and, you know, accessibility, etc. So we as a museum are reimagining having consulted with a range of stakeholders across government, business, industry, etc. And we're becoming broader, braver, bolder. We're wanting to explore universal themes that connect us as humans. The first one that we explored more recently was on love. Love is something that connects us all. And we looked at, and our exhibition looked at the many ways in which we love each other as humans and from very diverse perspectives and from a range of lenses. And that award, that exhibition went on to win awards. And so we're very, very pleased that it's kind of validated to us that the direction that we are undertaking is actually one that is appealing to our audience.
Right, it's resonating with the Melburnians as well as the international visitors that come to the museum, which is great. Yeah. Talk to us about this exhibition that you've got here. It's called Our Bodies, Our Voice, Our Marks. It's a tattoo exhibition. This sounds very interesting.
So, how did you move into this area? Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, again, you know, given we're exploring universal themes that connect us, we looked at tattoo culture. And when you think about understanding culture in the past, you know, some ways in which we get a window into cultures is through food or faith and fashion. These are simple, accessible ways to understand other people and their traditions. And what we've discovered now is that the tattoo culture is another culture that actually gives you insight into cultural identity. What we've done now is that we've brought a suite of exhibitions and experiences that explore the art of tattoo alongside themes of identity, self-expression, culture, and community. And this is running from, we just opened, as a matter of fact, on Thursday, and we run until October 6th. What we're inviting visitors to explore, you know, what it means to document the body.
Mm.
We're talking about, well, you know, what stories do our bodies tell us?
Yes, and it is a very multicultural thing. There's many different cultures have tattoos and have done for centuries.
Well, it's ubiquitous across all cultures, across millennia. You know, they found a woman in a glacier from 2,500 years ago that was completely tattooed from the neck down.
There you go. So it's been around for a long time.
That's Otzi, the Iceman, yes. Method, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Yeah, and they dated that body at about 3,500 years ago, and then they went back and redated,
right.
And said that it was even probably as long as 5,000 years ago.
Tattoos are very fashionable at the moment. I mean, almost everyone's got one. I do not, but lots of people
I'm
do.
I'm heavily tattooed.
You have
so
a
I'm
few
very,
tattoos. Yes,
I'm very interested.
Very
in
fashionable.
This conversation.
Yes, but it has been around for centuries, and it has been around in many different cultures. And this is what your exhibition is about.
Well, actually, let me go into the various exhibitions because there's a suite of experiences. We have the Samoan exhibition, which is called Tatau, Marks of Polynesia, and this exhibition is fascinating, and it explores a 2,000-year-old practice, which has been the cornerstone of Samoan cultural identity for this long. It's really interesting that for Samoans, tattooing is a way of life. It's so ingrained in culture. It's something that they hold great reverence for. So the master tattoo artists are people that are revered and deeply respected in their community. And it's almost like a rite of passage in that culture. So when it's an intense experience between, you know, the tattoo master and the subject. It takes quite a long time. It's intensely painful as well. But people sort of get a lot of cues from where the tattoos are placed, what symbols are used. So it's like a kind of visual language on the body, and it enables you to sort of understand who you're dealing with.
Hmm. Yeah, sorry, just for our listeners, we're talking to Rohini Kapadath from the Immigration Museum. Now, Rohini, you're telling us about the several sort of exhibitions as such. You just mentioned Samoan. What other things are there?
The other one is called Perseverance. It's about the Japanese art of tattoo. And again, the Japanese culture of tattoo is fascinating. And as a complete contradiction to the Samoan way, in Japan, these full body tattoos are stigmatized and associated with the underground and with, you know, organized crime, with the yuzukas. So even though, again, this tradition is, there's such great talent and expertise behind this art form, it's people have a very different relationship. So some people to date cannot go into bathhouses or to the beaches if they're covered in tattoos. There's still that negative association. So again, complete contrast to Samoa.
So the exhibition's obviously, like you say, you're talking focus on different things, but what are we actually going to see when we go there?
You're going to see photographic exhibitions. The Japanese exhibition is curated by Kip Fulbeck, who was here in Melbourne right up until yesterday. They are full-length, majestic photographs, and that's the Samoan exhibition in the iconic Long Room is also a photographic exhibition. And then we've got a series called Documenting the Body, curated by local artist Stanislava Pinchak. She also goes by the moniker Miso. She has a wide following, does work internationally, and she's brought together works from not only herself, but also Paul Stillen, Brooke Andrew, Angela Tiatia, and Zaiba Khan. And so I'm particularly excited about the involvement of our local artists, you know, people who reside here in Melbourne and who intend to come and spend time in the Immigration Museum. And they've sort of shared that they're very happy to be engaging with visitors and sharing more about the stories behind their work. And these works are fascinating. Miso is outstanding in what she does. Very, very elegant, new age style of tattooing that makes it appealing and attractive to everybody. The works on the ground floor are really quite special by Paul Stillen.
And the one with the work with MISO, is that also a photographic exhibition? Are there also other works you talk about understanding the stories behind it? Are there talks and are other events throughout this Aspa exhibition as well?
Throughout the season, yes, we are going to have talks. And again, you know, we will have Paul Stillen and MISO in the house from time to time as well. And Eseta Suluape, who is actually the daughter of Paolo Suluape, this is the legendary Suluape family that's been involved and heavily credited for the Renaissance and revival of Samoan tattoo culture from the 1980s. We're so lucky that Paolo Suluape's daughter Eseta lives here in Melbourne, and she came and she participated, in fact, led the dance, which was at the end of the Ava ceremony. So we had this rather, you know, it was a profoundly beautiful Ava ceremony that we held at the opening, and Eseta then subsequently went and led the dance, and she's also indicated that she'll be very happy to be, you know, in and around and really giving her energy to the Immigration Museum over the next few months, because her father's works and his father's photograph and you know, his legacy is literally what that exhibition's about in the long room.
Oh, wonderful.
But these are beautiful exhibitions, and it's I think it kind of enables us to engage with the art of tattoo in a whole new way.
Okay, amazing. So that's great. Now, so the exhibition is on at the moment.
It opened on Friday.
Okay, and what's it called?
It's called Our Bodies, Our Voices, Our Marks. It's about tattoo and identity.
Okay, and it's on until the 6th of October, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, indeed.
And how do people find out about, I suppose, the program for the season? Is there something on the website that they can check?
Yes, I do hope that our website will be kept up to date at all the time, and we will certainly be aiming to do that. And otherwise, if they do actually hop in and into the museum when they're passing by, I think that our visitor experience team will always be very happy to sort of share with them what's coming up.
That's great. Thank you for coming in, Rahini. That sounds like a fantastic exhibition, and all the best with it. And yeah, you're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.